Before I teach you, I just want to say thank you to all of those of you who have sent offerings to me and have been so faithful with your monthly pledges and support. All my partners, thank you so much. I want you to know I appreciate you. I love you. I know many of you are struggling financially during this time, and I'm praying for you daily and believing that God is going to restore double what the enemy has tried to steal from us during this time. And I want you to know that I'm doing just fine. Don't worry about me financially. God has me covered, and we're doing just fine. Today, I want to talk to you a little bit about a very familiar psalm. And I want to talk to you in the light of a disorder that doctors call PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. When our young men go to war, oftentimes they're so involved in the fighting that they really don't think about anything else except that fighting. Their adrenaline is pumping, everything is operating, and then they come home and they get very quiet, and all of the war seems to be over, but it's not over inside them. They go through this terrible time in their lives. Our medical people are going to experience that after this horrible trauma, this horrible attack is over. They're going to experience post-traumatic stress disorder. And many of you have probably experienced it. About 10 years ago, my daughter was attacked, was assaulted, and it was someone she knew and knew very well, and her life was threatened and our life was threatened. And it was a very traumatic thing for her and for me and for her dad. I know that for a long time after that happened, when I would take my dog out in the backyard to walk in the late at night for her last time out, I would look across the golf course and I would think, you know, it'd be easy for somebody to be hiding up there and to shoot and kill me. The devil would try to get me into fear, and I had to deal with that. And so I want to talk to you about that, because I believe many of us, although right now we're locked in our houses, we're restricted in how much we can go in and out, but I believe that there's a lot of stress syndrome, stress disorder. We may not even be aware of it. When about a month after I had cancer and had surgery, about a month after the surgery, I started feeling really weak as soon as I got up in the morning. I'll never forget this. It was a very scary time in my life. I didn't feel like eating. My body felt very weak. And I was so fearful and concerned. I talked to my doctor about it. And he said I was experiencing post-operative fatigue. Wow. My body was tired from the war it had been waging against the cancer. It needed rest. And you know, some of us are experiencing a fatigue from the battle. We've been trying to keep our spirits up. We've been trying to keep a cheerful disposition in, and we're tired and we're fatigued, and our body is reflecting that. Well, the Lord wants to heal us. With sickness, there's a spirit of fear that will come on you and will tell you the disease is coming back. That's what was happening to me. Or you're going to die, all sorts of crazy things. In this situation, that spirit will say, you could get this. You should be very careful. You could get this. And if you're like me, over 60, and they're telling us that older people die. And so the enemy is harassing us. I know he is. Don't tell me he hasn't harassed you, because I know he has. But with any kind of trauma, it's the same. The danger may be still here. It could happen again. That's what the devil tells you. That spirit of fear will try to attack you. It may not come as a terror of death. It may just come as a worry, as a constant nagging worry about your child, about your mate, about your parents, about someone older that you know. Well, I want to talk to you about that. Because in Matthew chapter 11, 28, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I want to give you rest." There is nothing wrong with you spiritually. I want you to know you're just fine spiritually. You just need restoration and healing from the wounds in your spirit that this warfare is bringing on us. You may not be worried about your health, but all of the reports of our economy, what could happen to our economy? How long will this period of time where all of our industries are partially shut down. How long will this go on? Oh, the enemy harasses us constantly with those questions, doesn't he? But I want to talk to you about a very familiar psalm. I just want to go over it with you and encourage you with it. It's a psalm that I pray every night, almost every night. I may miss a night occasionally. Sometimes I do it quickly. Sometimes I go through it thoughtfully. But today I want to go through it with you thoughtfully because the Lord wants to restore us. Right now, in the middle of our storm, in the middle of our war, the Lord wants to restore us. So we need to crawl out of our foxholes and we need to listen to what the Lord would say to us today. Because this psalm, applied to your frazzled minds and emotion, has extreme healing qualities. And here it is. It's the 23rd Psalm. Verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I could say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not fear." I love what the New Living Translation says. "The Lord is my shepherd, I have everything that I need. I don't need anything, I have the Lord." This is a Psalm of David. He was known as the Shepherd King because when he was anointed to be king, he was out in the fields keeping sheep. He was a shepherd. He understood sheep. He understood the life and the relationship between a shepherd and sheep. So when he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I have everything that I need," he knew what he was talking about. He understood the Lord's care for him because of his care for the sheep that he had taken care of as a youth. Jesus presented himself as a good shepherd in the New Testament. In John chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And in verse 14, he said it again, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known of mine." I know my sheep. The Lord knows you. He's the good shepherd. He's the shepherd who's going to take care of you. To the sheep, the shepherd is everything. They totally depend on him for their life. It has to be the same for us, especially during these difficult times. After our struggle, after our fight, after we have done everything we can do to stand, we are told simply to stand, to keep standing with our confidence in our good shepherd. That's Ephesians 6:14. I love the translation of that verse that says, "And after we have done all to stand, when this battle is over and the smoke clears, we will still be on our feet." And we can say that because we have put our trust in our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a calm peace we will experience when we realize that all we need, we have in Jesus. He is our confidence in times of anxiety. Now this is how he does it. Verse 2, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Let's look at those three verses. First, let's look at those green pastures. That speaks of provision. You know, everything a sheep wants is a green pasture where he has all he wants to eat and he can lie down in safety. Plenty of food and peace. Matthew 6:33 tells us this: "Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you." Now, just before that verse, well, he communicates the things he's talking about. He said, don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about where you're going to live. Much of our anxiety comes from the pressures of money in our lives. What we will eat, what we will wear, where we will live, how we will pay our bills, especially right now. So many people in our world are so concerned about their future. Will this period of time where we're isolated, this period of time when we're away from our jobs, will it totally destroy us? Do we have a future? The answer is no, it will not destroy us. The answer is yes, we have a hope and a future in Jesus Christ. He will make us lie down, rest in green pastures. He will lead us beside still waters. Sheep are easily frightened. We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture, the scripture says. we also are easily frightened. So as sheep, sheep can't be led by rushing waters. When we lived in Colorado, I love to hike in the mountains and watch the water rushing down, the streams rushing down in the rapids. And Art loved to fish in those little holes around the rapids because there were fish there. But if we were taking care of sheep, that's not where we would take them to drink because they're terrified of rushing water. No, David said he had to take them to a place with still waters for them to drink. Still waters represent peace. Anxiety is a feeling of worry, nervousness, uneasiness, typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. We are right now in the midst of something with an uncertain outcome. But Philippians 4:6 is a key verse for us to look at, to meditate on, to be encouraged with. It says this, "Be anxious for nothing." One translation says, "Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything." The New King James says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God." As a result of that, the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. That's so important. While we're praying for deliverance, while we're taking authority over this plague, while we're doing those things, don't forget the thanksgiving part. To thank God for your life, to thank God for your peace, to thank God for His Word, to thank God for the hope He's given us, to thank God for faith to believe Him for a good outcome. I usually stop there at verse 7. When I'm teaching about anxiety or fear. But in the case of restoring our soul during this traumatic time of warfare, I think we need to look at the next verse, because it is so easy for us to listen to all the news, and that's all that's on the news now, is just the news about this pandemic all over the world, and how many people are dying and how many people are getting sick, and it's going to get better, but first it's going to get worse, and thousands of people are going to die, and on and on and on, and we hear that over and over and over. But listen to what the scripture says in verse 8 when it's talking to you about overcoming stress and worry. It says, "Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue, and if there's any praise, then meditate, think about these things." So I listen to the news every day. I usually only listen once a day. And I read the email that I get every afternoon, every evening, because I want to know of the new cases. I want to know really how to pray. I'm confident this is going to end. I'm absolutely confident this is going to end. I'm confident God is going to keep us. But I do listen to the news because I want to be informed. But I don't listen to it all day. And I don't just think about it all day. I fill my mind with other things, with the Word, with studying the Word, with reading the Word, with other good things. Because I know that whatever I think about, I empower. And I want to empower the Word of God in my life. So don't allow the news media to disturb your still waters. Don't allow the news, all of the other vehicles of news, Facebook and other things, don't allow those things to disturb your still waters. But allow the Holy Spirit to move through you. Even after this traumatic event has passed, there will be those who want to rehearse it over and over and over again. The more you talk about it, the bigger it gets, and all that stress and anxiety will try to return to you. Paul advises the Philippians to fill their minds with thoughts of peace and good things, trusting God with all those negative possibilities. And listen, while we're doing that, a really good verse to meditate on is in Proverbs chapter 3. That whole chapter is dynamite. But chapters, I believe, verses 4 and 5 and maybe 6, says we must trust in the Lord with all our heart, not lean to our own understanding. In all our ways acknowledge Him. He is directing our path, and it's a good path. He said, I know my plans for you. My plans for you are good and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. So every time the enemy tries to convince you that our future is dark, that there's no coming back from this, that we're going to be destroyed, remember the word and speak the word, not the problem. Sometimes we try so hard to believe that it actually pushes us into anxiety and out of rest. Then our faith doesn't seem to work. When you get in that position, you have to rest in the Lord. You have to just, you know, I remember one time when I was battling cancer. I don't know why this situation so reminds me of that time in my life, but that time was an impossible situation to me, and I needed God. And I remember saying to God one time, Lord, I just don't know that I have the faith for this, to push through this, to get on the other side of this. And you know what He said to my heart? You don't have to have the faith. Why don't you just fall back into my faith and use my faith? Wow. And so I did. You said, is that scriptural? Yes. Mark 11:43, I think that's the right reference. Anyway, Mark 11, read the whole chapter. It says, have the God kind of faith, or have God's faith, or rest in God's faith. And this is how you do it. You do it with your words. You do it by speaking the word rather than the problem. Even when you're not sure you can believe, keep speaking the word. 2 Corinthians 4 is a powerful verse. It says this, we have the same spirit. That word spirit means life-giving force. We have the same spirit of faith according to what is written. I believe and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore we speak. I'm telling you, the more you speak the word of God, the more you will believe the word of God, and it will begin to rise up in you until it overwhelms and overcomes every problem in your life. I'm going to come back to that chapter in a minute to read you something else from there, but let's go on in our notes. So, we just need to relax in the Lord. And then He says, He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. He restores my soul and He leads me in the paths of righteousness. Restoration of our souls is a process. And I think it's an ongoing process day by day by day. When I pray this at night, I always pray, thank you, Lord, that today, all day long, you've been restoring my soul. Anything that has happened to me that would damage or injure my soul, you are restoring it on an ongoing basis. It's a process. Your soul is your emotional health and your mental health. As you rest in the Lord, and even as you rest physically, and we've got lots of time to rest physically right now, our emotions and our minds will settle down. And then you're able to rise up and take authority over those spirits of fear and all that anxiety. And especially we can take authority over the spirit of sickness and death that's attacking us, and command it to go to the dark, dry places. And you'll begin to recognize those spirits for what they are as you take authority over them. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. We can rest in the fact that God is leading us. We are not alone. I think of the three Hebrew children when they were thrown in that fiery furnace. They had no idea that when they hit the floor of that fiery furnace and looked up, somebody was going to be there with them. And it was the Lord Jesus Christ right there with them. And I want you to know, if God would open your spiritual eyes today, and if you could see with your spiritual eyes, you would see none of us, not one of us, is alone in this situation. God is with us. He's fighting for us. He is delivering us. We will come through this as a victor. His destiny for our lives and the lives of our children and the lives of our family will be fulfilled. Rest on the fact that God is leading you. You have a future and you have a hope. He is leading us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. By the way, that scripture I quoted a minute ago was Jeremiah 29:11, that God knows His thoughts and plans for us. I'm assuming you all know that verse by heart. Now, during this time, we have to have a right attitude. And that's really what I'm talking to you about today, is attitude adjustment. And this, in verse 4, the shepherd talks to us about our attitude. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The key word in those scriptures and those verses is the word through. We're not going to camp and stay here. This problem is not going to last forever. Every problem has a limited lifespan. I read to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to read a little bit more, and then I'll also probably end by coming back to this. I love this chapter. This is what it says in verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, this light affliction is but for a moment. It's working for us a far and more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. This thing, we may not realize it, while the enemy means to destroy us, God is going to use this to strengthen the church as we have never been strengthened before. It's causing some of us that have been a little negligent about things to get very, very excited and motivated to do everything we can do to reach the people around us. I've gone back on Facebook, and I'm posting a daily thought on Facebook. If you're not a friend of mine on Facebook, by all means, go on Facebook, look up Billy Hunt, and friend request me, and I'll make you my friend. And you can join me on Facebook and begin to pray with me for all those people. I've been amazed. I have over 100 friend requests a day. I don't know where they're coming from, but praise the Lord. I only friend them if we have a mutual friend. I don't friend people I don't have mutual friends with. But if you know, there's something we can all do. This is going to end, but in the meantime, He's taking us to a higher place of glory. In our churches, God is expanding the way we minister. He's pulling back the curtains so we will reach out beyond the walls of our church and begin to pull people in through media. Listen, this is horrible. People are dying, but it's also glorious because we are having to reach beyond our comfortable little positions to do something for God. Well, I'm getting excited and I'm beginning to preach. I'm sorry. This problem did not come to stay, it came to pass. So whatever's happening in your life, it has a limited lifespan. It will end. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now that's a choice. I make the choice, I'm not going to be afraid. It's a spirit. Fear is a spirit. And daily, we have to make the choice not to allow fear to have authority over us. But we must capture the thoughts of our mind, pull down thoughts of fear, and replace them with the Word of God. And if you feel afraid, you just press on through in faith anyway. Don't let fear keep you from believing the Word of God. I won't be afraid. Here's why we don't have to be afraid. Because you're with me. God is with us. I think those are some of the sweetest words that I can think of. God is with us. Isaiah 41:10 says this, don't be afraid. Fear not. I am with you. Don't be dismayed. That word dismayed means don't give up. Don't give up. I'm your God. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to uphold you with my righteous right hand. What a promise. Isaiah 41:10. That's a terrific promise. You know, during times of trouble, people turn to God. Some people that have been serving Him in kind of a sloppy, agape manner, they become really serious and they begin to follow God with their whole heart. During times of trouble, I ask God to search my heart. We become open for correction and instruction. In the good times, we get so wrapped up with the good times, we just don't focus on spiritual things the way we should. So let's take advantage of this time where we're shut in and let's be like the old song my mother used to sing, and we used to sing this in closing and in times where our church had been in prayer. We would sing the song that the words go, shut in with God in a secret place, there in His presence, beholding His face, gaining new power to run in life's race. Oh, I love to be shut in with God. That's a wonderful old song that we used to sing, and it's true. So they're asking us to stay shut in. So if I'm going to be shut in, I'm going to be shut in with God. And I'm going to gain new courage, new strength, new vigor, new vitality to run my race during this time when I'm shut in with God. Then he says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I'm going to walk through this valley. I'm with you. I'm not going to be afraid because your rod and your staff comfort me. The shepherd's rod was a weapon of defense. And that's what he used to chase off anything that would come after his sheep. He would chase them with that rod. He would throw that rod. Sometimes he would use it. He would throw it to get the sheep's attention if the sheep was straying, to get the sheep to come back to the fold. So it was a very important, the rod. You can depend on the shepherd to protect you with that rod, but also his staff. His staff, where the rod speaks of authority and protection, the staff speaks of comfort and rescue. The shepherd used that staff, had a little crooked end on it usually, that he could wrap that around that little sheep that had fallen over and maybe was on a little ledge somewhere, and he could pull him, he could rescue that sheep. He could draw them to himself, or if a lamb was straying away from his mother, he could use that hook on that staff to pull the little lamb back to his mother's side. Your rod and your staff, pull me back, Lord. Pull me close to your side. Rescue me if I've fallen off of a cliff. Drive off the enemy for me, Lord. I thank you. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. After intense struggles, we feel weak and exhausted, and we need to be comforted. The word comfort in the Greek means to breathe intensely because of deep emotion. So he wants to comfort us. You know, sometimes we just need to stop and take a deep breath. Even when we're speaking physically and medically, breathing deeply is very good for us, to breathe in through your nose and to breathe out through your mouth. It will calm you. It will bring you peace. When people are hyperventilating, if they can stop and breathe in through their nose and out through their mouth, it'll calm them. Spiritually, we need to breathe in God's presence, and we need to exhale those anxieties and stresses. Why don't you just practice that? Just breathe in God's presence. Hold it for just a few seconds, and then breathe out that anxiety. Practice that. It's a good exercise for you. You know, we've got to understand it's God's will for us to triumph. It's God's will for us to triumph. There's a wonderful verse in 2 Corinthians 2:14 that says, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Powerful. Songs of deliverance. Listen to Psalms 32:7. You are my hiding place. You will preserve me from trouble. You will surround me with songs of deliverance. How about Job 35:10? But no one says, where is God my maker who gives songs in the night? Yes, the Lord will deliver us. His rod and his staff will comfort us. Here's the next verse, verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. As children of God, as ladies that love the Lord, this is our confidence. In life, you're going to always experience conflict. It's part of life. But God always has a table spread before us. John 16:33 says this, these things I've spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but cheer up, I've overcome the world. Jesus said that just before he was arrested and crucified. What trauma it must have caused the disciples, and how difficult to hold that statement, I have overcome the world, in their mind as they watched Jesus die on the cross. But remember, God's viewpoint is very different from ours. And even in the midst of our storms, God sees the rainbow. Don't doubt God's words in your storm. Jesus did defeat death, hell, and the grave. He did overcome the world. He is our deliverer. In the Old Testament, Joseph said to his brothers who sold him into slavery, you meant this to me for evil, but God meant it for good. Surely, the things that have happened in our life in the past were meant for evil from the enemy. Surely what is happening to us right now is from the enemy, and the enemy means it for evil in our lives. But God knows that He's preparing a table before us in the presence of our enemy. Listen to this verse in Philippians chapter 1, verse 28 in the Amplified Bible. Do not for one moment be frightened or intimidated in anything by your opponents and adversaries. For such constancy and fearlessness will be a clear sign, a proof and a seal to them of their impending destruction. But it will be a sure token and evidence of our deliverance and salvation, and that from God. So when we stand strong before the Lord, when we speak the word and we refuse to be intimidated by this spirit of sickness and death that's attacking us, it's a sure sign that they're defeated, that God is going to dismiss them from this planet, but it's also a sure sign of our victory. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. This is what God desires to do for us. A new anointing. A new beginning. Often when reading a book, when you get to the end of a section, there's a page that will say part two or part three. That's where we are in our life right now. A new anointing. A new beginning. A new adventure. Behold, the old has passed away. He said that so many times in Isaiah. Don't consider the old anymore. Keep your eyes looking forward. God's doing new things in our life, new things in our world. A new beginning, a new adventure. The old things passed away. All things have become new. So let's rejoice. Let our cup continue to overflow. And finally, in verse 6, for surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The psalmist refused to yield to fear. He kept his focus on eternity. He kept his focus on his God. And that's what we must do also. I want to end this teaching by going back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. We do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I love one translation that says, the things that we can see are temporary and they are subject to change, but the things we cannot see are eternal. I want to leave you with that thought. What's happening in our world right now is subject to change. It will change. But the things we have believed in, the one we have believed in, our God, our hope, our Savior, He is eternal. Our hope is eternal. Yes, this situation will end. And afterwards, God is going to pour out blessings in our lives so great that it will be hard for us to believe the blessings of the Lord coming our way. God bless you. There may be somebody listening to this who's never made Jesus the Lord of your life. I want to give you an opportunity to do that right now. If you pray with me, you can be born again. You can receive Jesus as your Savior right now. Pray after me. Oh God, I know without Jesus I'm lost. Without Jesus, I would die and go to hell. But I don't want to be lost. I want to be saved. And I know I can't save myself. But I believe Jesus died on the cross for me. And I believe that God raised Him from the dead. Right now, I invite you, Jesus, to come into my heart, to be my Lord and my Savior, to be the one who forgives me and redeems me. I thank you that I am a new creation. I have been born again. I have a future. I have a hope because I have made you the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, you need to get in a good church, be baptized in water immediately, read your Bible, and pray every day. Know this, gals, I'm praying for you. I love you, and I am looking forward to being with you in the very near future. Bye now.